So we are continuing with our series on the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 7, which means we're about a third of the way through. And it's a very long chapter, so I actually took verses 2 and 14 to give you some context. And then we're going to go through verses 25 to 44, so that's why it looks this way. But we'll read it now. Now the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near. But not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believed in him. They said, "When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others said, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. If you pray with me. Lord, it's you we need to meet. So I pray you'd meet us. It's you we need to hear, so I pray we'd hear you. Holy Spirit, speak to us today and turn our hearts to you. We commit our time to you, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So some of you might be new here, and you might not know the good-looking guy who was very tall and playing the guitar. His name is Craig Okpala. And Craig and I were talking a few months back, and you see, that got him into trouble. I managed to make him go through a lot of physical pain at the beginning of this month. But I didn't do it intentionally, and this is why or how it happened. So when we were talking a few months ago, he said to me, "Dude, I love to go hiking." And I said, "Dude, I know this great trail down in Virginia. It's intense, but it's beautiful, and it's worth it. We should totally go sometime." And he was like, "Dude, we totally should." That's the way we talk to each other. And so, eventually, we did. 3 weeks ago, we got down there. And since we knew it was going to be pretty intense, we like went to Whole Foods and we bought a bunch of snacks. So food wasn't a problem. It was with the water where we made a mistake. Or I should say I made a mistake. Because you see, I had done this trail before with my friends. So Craig had all these water bottles in the back of his car. And he points to them and he's like, "Think these will be enough?" And I go, "Yeah, sure. Let me tell you, it was not. It definitely was not. You get really dehydrated going up this mountain. Because when you get to the top, it gets like steeper and steeper, and then there's this rock climb where you have to like go over rocks and under rocks and around rocks and between rocks. It's like exhilarating, but also terrifying at the same time. And well, you've used up a lot of water by the time you get to the top. And Craig and I, well, we drank about 80% of our water by the time we got there. And that's bad, because by the time you get there, you've only gone 40% of the distance. You've gone like just less than 4 miles, and you have just more than 5 miles to go. So on our downhill climb, very shortly into it, we're completely out of water. And since Craig is a much taller and more muscular man than most, he gets dehydrated a lot faster. So his legs start to hurt really badly. His legs, they start to cramp. His calf muscles are screaming at him like, dude, you can go further, but we are not going to. And so with no water, we're trying to do whatever we can to make this pain go away. We try to stop and stretch, but that doesn't really work. We try to rest, but that doesn't really work. And so I try to come up with a creative solution to this problem. I'm like, hey, Craig, we got some dried apricots in our stash of food here. Apricots have potassium. Potassium is an electrolyte. Electrolytes are good for your muscles. And so maybe these will help if you eat these. Well, that didn't work either. And he ate all of them. But you see, we have many more painful steps down this mountain. So we have to take them, and Craig's in pain the whole time. And finally, we get back to the car. Craig steps on the gas. We just bolt out of that place. We get to a gas station where there is a ton of bottled water, and we buy it. We buy juice. We buy Gatorade. We chug it. And finally, the pain goes away. And let me tell you, there really was no substitute for that water. No matter what we tried. I mean, we tried to stop and stretch. That didn't work. We tried to rest. It didn't work. We tried different sorts of food. It didn't work. We tried very many different techniques. Craig even tried walking down the mountain backwards at one point. But none of that really helped, because what he really needed was water. And fortunately, in America, you usually don't have to go very far to find it. We just had to drive 10 minutes to get to the nearest gas station where, like I said, they sold a ton of bottled water. And if I had just planned better, we could have easily filled up a bunch of bottles at home with a tap. We would have had plenty. And as we found out later, there was actually a fountain at the end of the trail that we could have taken a drink from. But Craig and I looked at that thing, and it looked sort of sketchy, so we weren't going to try. But the point is, usually in America, you have all this water at your fingertips. It's something a lot of the world doesn't know. And yet it's interesting, because even though we have so much at our fingertips, so much water so easily available, a lot of us choose not to drink it. Because in a land of abundance, you have so many other options. You want soda? We got soda. You want coffee? We got coffee. And oh, so many different varieties. You want drink with artificial sweetener? We got drink with artificial sweetener. Why settle for water when you can have so much flavor? And yet, as we're all taught in school from a really young age, there's nothing quite like water, is there? Because you can survive without soda. You can survive without coffee. You can survive without drink with artificial sweetener. But you can't survive without water. Your body needs it. And even when you drink something else, your body's looking for the water in that other drink. If you drink soda, your body's looking for the water in the soda. If you drink coffee, your body's looking for the water in the coffee. And if you drink that drink with artificial sweetener, your body's looking for that water in that drink with artificial sweetener. Because your body's a relentless water seeker. It longs for it, it looks for it, and it won't be satisfied until it finds it. You might not like the taste of water. You might have trained your mouth to want a lot of other drinks. But even if your taste buds aren't looking for water, the rest of your body is. Your kidneys, your liver, your heart, your blood, they all know when you haven't been drinking water. And if you go long enough without it, you're going to start to have issues. Your organs won't function as well. Your blood pressure will go up. Your heart rate will rise. And you can face a ton of other health issues. Because sooner or later, your body's going to make very clear that it can't be satisfied with anything less than water. And that helps to explain why the Bible so many times calls God the water for your soul. Because like your body relentlessly seeks water, your soul relentlessly seeks God. It longs for him. It looks for him, and it won't be satisfied until it finds him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't try to satisfy ourselves with a lot of other things. I mean, the money we make, the careers we build, the relationships we pursue. But deep down, our souls can tell, no, that's not what I'm looking for. And yet we can waste so much of our lives trying to satisfy our souls with something that couldn't possibly satisfy it. And so to make sure that our lives are not just one big waste of time, one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves is this: where will we drink from today? Will we drink from God, or will we try to replace him with something else? Now, you see, whether we know it or not, we are all drinking from somewhere already. The question is just, where are we drinking from? And one of the best ways to figure this out is to ask yourself, where do I go in times of distress? Because it's in those moments that you're most likely to run to those wells that you already go to. And so here are a few questions, a few scenarios to consider, to ask yourself where you're going in times of distress. So first, where do you go when you're anxious? Where do your thoughts go when you're nervous about the future? Do you start reminding yourself of everything you've done to make your future secure? Like how much money you've saved or will save? Or how many prestigious degrees you've earned or will earn? Or how many important connections you've made or will make? Or when you're anxious, do you try to numb your anxiety by running to some place to forget about it? Like the television or your computer, or the games on your phone? Or do you first stop when you're anxious and say to God, Lord, I'm anxious. Help me to drink from you. I need your peace. Or what about this? What about when you're insecure? Say you're hanging out with people, you're at work or you're at school, and somebody says something to you that makes you feel really small and insignificant. Do you start reminding yourself of all your accomplishments, all the things that prove why you're so important? You could list your work experience, the awards you've earned, the recognition you've received, all to make yourself feel better. Or do you first stop and catch yourself and say, Lord, I feel like nothing. Help me to drink from you and know that I matter to you. Or finally, when you're lonely and there's nobody around to talk to, where do you go? You could, maybe, I'm sure nobody in this room, run to your email or your Facebook or your Twitter feed or your text messages, hoping that somebody might be trying to contact you. Or do you run to someplace full of people to try to forget about your problems? Forget about how lonely you feel. Some people try malls. Some people try nightclubs, because these sorts of places are full of people and they give us the illusion that we're not as lonely as we feel. Or when you're lonely, do you first stop and say, Lord, I feel so alone. Help me to feel your presence and help me to drink from you. Now, after all those questions, you might be feeling sort of depressed and you might be saying, well, gosh, I hardly ever stop and pray like that. I usually do just run somewhere else. It's just the way I've functioned for a long time now. But even if that's you, there's good news. Because God never stops coming to us. God never stops inviting us. But he calls out to you and to me, and he says, come. Come to me and drink. Come to me and satisfy your thirsty soul. Come to me and fill your longing heart. Because it's only in me that you can find what you're looking for. Why do you look so hard to find it in so many other places? Why do you look so long and hard everywhere else when all you have to do is call on me and I will come to you and fill your empty soul? Because unlike all those other wells you run to, I will run to you. And unlike all those other wells you run to, I will never run dry. And unlike all those other wells you run to, when you drink here, the water flows to the deepest parts of your soul and heals the deepest longings of your heart. And all you have to do is call on me, and I will come to you and let you drink. And you might say now, okay, Lord, that's great, but I'm so used to drinking other places. And to be honest, I sort of like them. You know, a lot of the time, I'm not so sure I thirst for you very much. And sometimes, I don't feel like I thirst for you at all. But if that's you, again, there's good news. Because even if you're not thirsty for God, or even if you don't feel like you're thirsty for God, God still tells us to come to him and drink. That's exactly what Jesus shows in our Bible passage today. Because notice that in the Bible story, nobody's running up to Jesus and saying, oh Lord, I am so thirsty, please let me drink of you. In fact, a lot of these people aren't interested in coming to Jesus at all. They want to keep their distance from Jesus. They're not sure about him. They got questions about him. They're suspicious of him. They don't exactly trust him. And some people have decided outright they just plain don't like Jesus. They would prefer he just left them alone and was completely out of their lives. But that doesn't stop Jesus from inviting them to come to him and drink. He knows that they don't like him. He knows that they don't understand him. He knows that they don't trust him, even like some of us here today. And yet he still gets up in the middle of all of them and cries out to them, come, come to me and drink. I don't care if you don't understand me. I don't care if you don't trust me. I don't care if you just want to shove me out of your life and have nothing more to do with me. I still say, come. Come to me and drink. Because I am the only drink that satisfies your soul. And it doesn't matter how much you think you're not thirsty for me. You are. And all you have to do is come to me and drink to see how thirsty you are. And when you do drink from me, you will want more. And when you taste how good I am, you will ask for more. And I won't deny you. But I will give you more than you could even ask for or imagine. And now you might say, well, okay, that sounds great, but I'm actually sort of okay with the way things are. Do I really have to leave behind all those other wells I've been going to for so long? And here it's really important to recognize that Jesus isn't offering some optional add-on to the Christian life. He makes really clear that this is the Christian life. Because back in chapter 6, all these people are following Jesus. And he turns to them and he says, unless you come to me and eat of me and drink of me, you have no life in you. Not you have some life in you, and you could have more, but you actually have no life in you at all. You could have all the marks of a religious life. You could think of yourself as a spiritual person. You could even love to talk about theology. But Jesus is saying, if you're not coming to me and drinking of me, you've got nothing. And actually, this point's really important to Jesus because he brings it up again in this passage today. He's talking to religious people, all these people who have come to the temple, all these people who have come to celebrate God, all these people who have come to talk about God, all these people who have even come to sing about God. And yet Jesus looks past all of that, and he says, if you're not coming to me to be your deepest source of life, everything else you've got means nothing. And so we have got to be really careful when we come to church, but we don't come to drink from Jesus. We've got to be really careful when we sing songs about him, but we're not asking him to fill us. We got to be really careful when we volunteer or serve or go to discipleship groups or theology classes, but we're not going to Jesus to ask him to be our deepest source of life. Because if we're not, everything else means nothing. But the good news is that Jesus is always calling out to us. He's always saying, come, come to me and drink. I don't care how many times you've gone to other places. I'll always invite you. But the question is, will you come? Or will you waste your life going to so many other wells that can't satisfy? And now you might say, well, I'm just not sure I can get away from all those other wells. I've been going to them for so long. I'm used to them. I almost depend on them now. And I can't possibly pull myself away. And you know what? You're right. You can't possibly do it on your own. But God's not asking you to. God wants you to call out to him and say, Lord, help me to get away from all those other wells I've been going to. And help me to thirst for you. And the promise is that God will help you because he cares for you. So here's a practical step you can take this week as a way to apply this message. I want to invite us to pray this prayer that will go up on the screen in just a moment. Every day this week, you can say this prayer. If you can only remember the first line, that's great. That'll do. But the prayer is just, Lord, help me to drink from you. Help me to get away from all those other wells I've been going to for so long. And help me to thirst for you. And a good way to start praying this prayer is actually to catch yourself in those times of distress, those times when you're most likely to run to other wells. So catch yourself when you're lonely or you're anxious or you're insecure or you're depressed and you want to run somewhere else. And instead, pray this prayer first. So when somebody talks down to you this week and you feel really small and insignificant, don't just run in your mind to all those things, your accomplishments that make you so important. But instead, stop, catch yourself, call on God and say, Lord, I feel like nothing. Help me to drink from you and know I matter to you. Or when you're lonely and you just want to numb your pain, you want to forget about your loneliness, don't just run to your email or your Facebook or your phone or the mall or wherever. But stop first, catch yourself, and come before God and say, Lord, I feel so alone. Help me to know that you're near and help me to drink from you. Or when you're anxious and you're worried about what the future holds, don't remind yourself of everything you've done that makes your future supposedly so secure. But instead, stop. Catch yourself. And first pray to God. Lord, I'm anxious. Help me to drink from you and know your peace. Or when you feel depressed and like your life is so empty and it has no meaning, don't just run to your possessions to try to feel like you've got something. But instead, first stop and pray to God and say, Lord, I feel so empty. Help me to drink from you. Isn't it amazing that the God of the universe calls out to you and to me? Even when we don't call out to him, even before we call out to him, he's calling out to us. And he's saying, come. Come to me and drink. And who are we to say no? And so I want to offer us in this time here, I want to invite us to come and drink even here, even now. Just to come before God with this simple prayer in your heart, even if you don't feel like you mean it, even if you can only say it in like the most feeble way, that's fine. God will hear you. Just come for the next few moments and pray this prayer. Lord, help me to drink from you. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are so weak and we run to so many other places, but it's only in you that we can find what we need. We pray, O Lord, that you would draw us to yourself, that you would make us dissatisfied with all the things we go to already. We pray that you would free us to run to you, to call on you. And we would pray that we would just taste you and know how good you are. And we would thirst for you, even if we don't thirst here or now, Lord. We pray that you would give us a taste so we would. We thank you for your mercy. And lead us out of this place, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.